Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Special edition. It's special because of our guest. But also, this is going to be the Thursday/Friday podcast. It's about 3:15 p.m. Eastern. I am Adam Azer, and I'm joined by, you know him. You know him, that's all. little cliffhanger
people
there.
People know me?
People know him. He's Al Melchior. Hello, Al Melchior.
Hey, Adam. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. I'm doing well. I am in New York, as everybody knows, but the Fort Lauderdale office is closed due to Hurricane Irma, so I am unable to podcast with anybody on the staff. So I will go with a former staff member, Al Melchior, who is on Twitter, at Al Melchior BB, at Al Melchior Beanie Baby. It stands for Beanie Baby, the BB.
Or baseball, whichever one you like better.
I like Beanie Baby. And it's good to have you back, man. Thank you. It hasn't been that long. Thanks for coming on, Al.
Yeah, well, always great to be back, Adam.
Al's stepping up in the absence of Scott and Chris and Heath, and we really appreciate it. So before we go any further, self-promote.
All right. Well, I've got my own show. It's for right now until after the Super Bowl. It's just on Saturdays, but it's on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FanRag Fantasy Baseball. And I'm also writing for FanRag Sports and for FanGraphs. And then there's AlMelchior.com and the weekly matchup report.
Awesome. Yes. So he's going to help us out. We're going to look at young starting pitchers. Do you pick up Giolito or Junis or Lopez or Skaggs or Peters or Flaherty or all of them? We'll take a look at the most added list and go over some stuff that happened on Wednesday. There's only one Thursday game underway so far, and the Yankees are winning! So Al's probably not that happy, because Al, like everybody else, hates the Yankees.
I like them more since I seem to own a lot of them.
Oh, okay,
year.
Good. Lovely. Let's go to a Red Sox. Let's start the show with a Boston Red Sox member. I think you just say Boston Red Sox. Doug Fister. What the heck is going on here? Doug Fister is 39% owned. He's got a 150 ERA, nearly a strikeout per inning over his last four starts, with 8% swinging strikes, by the way. I don't really want to buy in, but he's got Oakland next week. So should we pick up Doug Fister, 39% owned? What do you think about this guy?
For one start, I probably wouldn't. But I do think that what we're seeing looks an awful lot like the classic Doug Fister, his best years with the Tigers, where, you mentioned not a lot of swinging strikes, and especially now compared to a few years ago, that's not a very impressive rate, but a lot of ground balls and not very many walks. And that was a formula that, that worked for him a few years back. So definitely a good two-start guy as long as he keeps going. I mean, I realize we're running out of weeks here.
Yeah, and it's hard to get two-star pitchers these days with all the rotation changes. So that's another challenge that we're going to have, is we'll try to take a look at two-star pitchers. So you're going to avoid Fister, who's been lights out with the A's. He could actually get some decent strikeout numbers.
Now, so that's the thing. With the different pitcher, I'd be really excited about that. But the A's are sort of a upside-downside opponent, because they do hit for some pretty good power.
Okay.
And Fister's been really good at avoiding that lately, but I think there's enough risk there that with the minimal upside that I think he's got for strikeouts, I just don't think it's worth it.
There is a potential new closer for players, for fantasy owners to get. I'll be taking a look in my categories league at Tyler Lyons. I believe I already dropped Jake McGee, but if I didn't, I will drop him for Tyler Lyons. I actually have a tough decision to make, Al. I could easily drop Luis Castillo, but it's a keeper league, and I can keep Castillo for like a 21st round pick next year or something.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
I gotta do that, right? Yeah, that sucks. I'm trying to win right now, and I can really use Tyler Lyons. I could use more saves, but this is my first year in a keeper league. Well, it was my second year in the league, but this is the first year where we've done keepers, and they really make a big difference year to year. Like, it's pretty important to have good keepers. So I don't want to give up on Castillo just yet. But Lyons, Al, do you think he's the best bet for saves for the Cardinals?
Oh, I definitely think so. I've been thinking that probably going back at least 2-3 weeks. So now finally the usage pattern is starting to dovetail with what the skill stats would suggest is what should happen. So he's been, he got his second save. Even when he hasn't gotten saves, he's been used a lot in the ninth inning with some 4-run leads. And there was one time where Brebbia was brought in, but it was after Lyons had pitched on 3 consecutive days. So everything to me points to Lyons having if not the job, definitely the clear upper hand on it.
Oh, dude. You're missing out on such a great pun. Would you say he will get the lion's share?
Oh, God.
Right?
I stared at him like, what am I missing?
That's like right up Al's alley. I mean, come on now. All right. So Tyler Lyons, 8% owned, having a really good year and could get some saves down the stretch for the Cardinals. Any standouts for you that you want to discuss, Mr. Melchior?
I'm going to be really just painfully honest here that, you know, mm-hmm. I spent last night at a rookie league game in Billings, Montana.
Me too.
And you too?
Yeah, everybody does it.
But, you know, I mean, it's not that big of a park. I can't believe I didn't run into you.
I was avoiding you. I had something in my teeth.
Man, you got to, in a park like that, you got to work very hard to avoid somebody.
Yeah, I sure
But I have to admit, I did not watch the Major League slate real closely. I did watch a bit of the Braves Rangers before I headed out to Billings yesterday and to watch Luis Garjara, but he wasn't a standout in a good way.
No, and maybe it's not a standout in a good way or even a standout from yesterday, but all the leagues that you've got going on right now, anybody that you've been picking up lately or roster moves, transactions, players we should pick up?
I think there's anybody who's a standout for me, it's Robert Stevenson.
Yeah?
Because he's just been, you know, just went to another level from since the beginning of August. He had been in that category of pitcher, and there seems to be a lot of them, where he was getting strikeouts, but there were so many walks and so many homers that it wasn't really helpful. And actually, this is now priming me for a second breakout that I'm thinking of.
Ooh.
But, yeah, I mean, he's done a much better job, particularly of cutting back on the extra base hits. And, you know, the results have been really good for him. So I picked him up in two leagues.
A lot of walks, though. A lot of
missed
walks.
Out. Yeah, well, you know, we were just, you know, kind of joking right before the show that there's just, and I mean, it's not really joking because it's reality. There's just not that many reliable stud pitchers.
It's, yeah, so true.
So,
yeah.
You know, you go with the meatloaf rule, you know, two out of three ain't bad. If they missing bats and they're inducing soft contact when they are allowing contact, you could deal with the walks. Or, you know, if they're, you know, Doug Fister would be a two out of three ain't bad. He's just not getting the strikeouts. So at this point, you know, I'll settle for that, for the meatloaf pitcher.
Okay. Well, that's a very funny term. And now it makes you really wonder how he didn't come up with the lion's share thing, but that's fine. We'll come back to a bunch of young starting pitchers and sort out our favorites.
Luis, and the other.
Yeah.
The other,
go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry, but the other standout is in the notes, so we'll get to him when we get to him, I guess.
All right, perfect. Luis Castillo is done for the season. They're shutting him down. He had a great finish. Billy Hamilton broke his thumb. Do we know if he's out for the year, or might Billy Hamilton be able to return?
I think he is expected back, which I found surprising.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. He doesn't really use his thumb much because he doesn't hit as long as he's got his legs. All right. I think it's pretty clear you can drop Hamilton unless you just want steals for a week at the end of the year. But, you know, it's your call, but, fantasy owners.
Yeah. I mean, for me, actually, as long as there's some chance he's going to play this year more than, you know, a few games, I would be really hesitant to drop Hamilton.
Okay.
Or unless I was in a roto league where I had steals, you know, either sewn up or I was hopelessly behind.
I want to take a look at our auction roto league that Heath is winning. And see, I know he has Billy Hamilton. I want to see what kind of lead that Heath has in steals. So he has, he's second in steals. Oh, ooh. Oh, Al Melchior, this is a game changer. Look at this. So one guy, the leader in steals has 144. I don't think anyone's catching him. Heath has 128. The third place guy in steals has 127. Then 126, then 125, then 123. He could lose 4 points and he'd still be winning, but it would be very close. He's up by 6 points right now over the second place team. Wow. Oh, tough break for Heath Cummings.
That is.
And he can't get the Leonard of Shields because Scott already owns the Leonard of Shields. But, all right. Washington called up outfielder Victor Robles. Does that matter, Al?
I don't think it's gonna. I'm not sure where the playing time is going to come from.
Okay.
With Harper out. So
Albert Pujols expected back tomorrow. Justin Bour could return this weekend. What's your level of excitement for Justin Bour?
Pretty fair. Cause I think what he did was legit before. And I mean, there's always the risk that he's just not going to be the same coming back. In fact, I was watching a Marlins broadcast probably about a week ago when they were starting to clarify the timeline for his return. And I think it was Todd Hollinsworth who was saying, you know, don't be surprised if it's not the Justin Bour that you saw earlier in the year. So, that's a point well taken, but, just the possibility that he returns close to that level, if he's out there, I think he's definitely worth picking up.
Sure. It's an oblique injury, and it derailed Matt Carpenter's season. After Carpenter got back, he changed his swing. Mitch Haniger hasn't been all that great since he came back, certainly not what he was before the injury. But no, I've got that wrong, because Haniger had the oblique injury before. He's had two separate injuries, right? And,
yeah.
But he did not come back from the oblique injury nearly as good as what he was doing before, which was unrealistic. A couple of catchers could be back this weekend. Wilson Contreras, that's very exciting, and Tyler Flowers. It's whatever. Noah Syndergaard's going to make a rehab start today. Nomar Mazara's been dealing with some leg issues, and we are getting close to a record, Al. Pablo Sandoval, 0 for his last 38. That is a San Francisco Giants record. And the baseball record is 46 consecutive hitless at-bats for a non-pitcher. So Sandoval 0 for 38. If he goes 0 for 9, he's in history.
I was going to ask if you have the name of the record holder, but since it's somebody who didn't hit very well, maybe it's somebody we've never heard of.
It felt like it was Aaron Judge just after the All-Star break. It felt that way.
Just seemed that way.
Yeah, he did homer today, though, so hurrah. All right, let's talk about the young starting pitchers. Important stuff here. A lot of them on the waiver wire. Who should you buy into? Who should you pick up? It's not necessarily rest of season. It's matchups week to week for many of you at this point. So I've got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, if you include Robert Stevenson, to get to. The first four are owned in 50% of leagues or more. Dinelson Lamet, who is at the Twins next week. Lucas Giolito, who will either face the Royals or the Tigers, both on the road next week. Blake Snell, who will face either the Yankees or the Red Sox next week, and just got crushed yesterday, but 2.92 ERA in his previous 8 starts, Blake Snell. And then there's Jake Junis, who you gotta hope his start gets pushed back this weekend, because he'd be facing Minnesota this weekend. I don't want to start Jake Junis next week in a 1-star week at Cleveland. But Lamet, let's start with Lamet, Giolito, Blake Snell, and Jake Junis, Al. Tell me who you like.
I definitely like Lamet. He is the second breakout that I was thinking of earlier, in addition to Robert Stevenson. And it's the same story there. Early in the year, very consistent strikeouts, but very consistent home runs. Not very good control, or I would say at best erratic control. But over his last 9 starts, he's allowed 3 home runs.
Nice.
Yeah, and the strikeouts have continued to be there. 61 over 53 innings, but yeah, 26 walks, which is way too many. But you factor in the good home park and everything else really going in the right direction. He's close to being a stud as far as I'm concerned. So
Lamet is 66% owned, but the problem is he's at the Twins next week, and that really is a tough matchup right now.
Yeah. I think there was a really cool visualization that was on Twitter with all the teams in the second half, their run differentials.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Twins were third. They were
They
were way up there. Of course, nobody was even close to the Indians. But
it's funny too, because they had been like a 500 or better team in the first half of the season with a terrible run differential.
Yeah,
and now they're hitting the ball hard. So the Mets at the Twins. Giolito should have a pretty good matchup at Kansas City or at Detroit. Blake Snell would have a bad matchup at home against the Yankees or the Red Sox, and Jake Junis at Cleveland. Okay, after Lamet, who do you like?
I would go Giolito, and you mentioned that he hadn't been getting strikeouts other than against the Rays, and I think that's relevant, because I did a write up on Giolito. I do a a column. I'm going to do a little more self-promotion here.
Cool.
Column for FanRag every Saturday called Sunday Streamers, which pitcher could, you know, push you over the top in a categories league. And I included Giolito, and I said, you know, expect him to have a season high in strikeouts and whiffs because he's facing the Rays, and it had been his best matchup by far. And that was exactly, you know, what happened there. So, you know, I think he'll regress, but the Tigers right now are such a good matchup. And I don't know that Giolito will necessarily be great for strikeouts, but unless you're a lefty, I think the Tigers are a really, really good matchup right now.
All right. And do you think Snell and Junis are worth rostering, even if you don't want to start them next week?
I would say Junis is.
I'm
not that big on Snell.
Why? Come on. He's got the control figured out.
But he made kind of a Faustian bargain there because he's got the control, but the last start aside, he's really not been getting that many strikeouts. So I would say I'd rather have this version of Blake Snell than the one who was getting a strikeout per inning but walked everybody. But in terms of, you know, looking at the whole landscape and who I could be starting, there's probably somebody out there, you know, I probably would rather start, well, Junis against the Indians, maybe not.
Yeah, no
but
way.
I would certainly rather start Giolito.
I had to look up Faustian bargain. That's why I wasn't really.
Sorry.
Faust sold his soul to the devil in exchange for knowledge. So that is a Faustian bargain.
Yeah, well, Snell sold his for better control.
And now the devil's just striking everybody out. All right, so let's go a little deeper here. Guys who are owned in less than 40% of leagues. Reynaldo Lopez, Robert Stevenson. Lopez with a good start, but only 2 Ks against Cleveland yesterday. But, I mean, come on, one run against Cleveland. Hooray. Lopez, Lopez, Stevenson. I'm just going to give them all here. Skaggs, Woodruff, Dylan Peters. Two starts potentially next week at Philadelphia, home against Milwaukee. Jack Flaherty, potentially two starts next week against the Reds and Cubs. And I don't think anybody wants Luis Gohara. So we got Lopez, Stevenson, Skaggs, Woodruff, Peters, Flaherty.
Well, I really like Stevenson. I don't even worry about matchups with him at this point. And I love those matchups for Dylan Peters. Like those a lot. And getting the Brewers at home because there's.
Yeah, I got to get Dylan Peters on my team. Sorry, Al.
Okay, no problem.
You can keep talking. I'm going to get Dylan Peters on my fantasy team at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was like, well, this is a different reason for taking a timeout. I would put the Brewers in a similar category with the A's, that there's a big strikeout potential there. But if you are allowing contact, you could be in trouble. But at Marlins Park, I think that defrays that risk a lot. And then, you know, he's got the Phillies. So and he had that great debut against them already. So Peters is definitely a priority, and you're making a priority right now. Peters and Stevenson definitely stand out amongst that group. And I agree, you know, Reynaldo Lopez looking good. That Indians matchup, that's kind of the inverse of what I was saying about the Rays, that they don't strike out much at all. So if your other numbers look good and you're not getting strikeouts against the Indians, you can kind of just dismiss that.
Right. So you're talking about Reynaldo Lopez?
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, this is really interesting. I didn't expect a flood of young, talented pitchers to influence the playoff races like this, but I think they really could. Also, Al, I can't figure out who to drop for Dylan. Oh, I already have Dylan Peters. That's right. I dropped Jake McGee for him this morning. Wonderful. And I just picked up Tyler Lyons. This is a really helpful show. I dropped Curtis Granderson for Tyler Lyons.
I think I need to open up some tabs here and make some moves.
Yeah. Yeah. I really want to win this league. I really want to win it. It's my best chance for a winner. There's some really good players or some good opportunities. Now, what about Brandon Woodruff? 1.52 ERA. 9 walks, 20 strikeouts, and 23 and two-thirds. He has Pittsburgh or at Miami next week. Not sure where his start will fall, but it'll be a one-start week for Woodruff.
Yeah, that looks pretty good to me. I mean, just for perspective, when I was trying to think about who I'd rather start than Blake Snell, definitely Brandon Woodruff. And those matchups look good. Pirates, certainly would be a good matchup. Marlins just aren't hitting right now. I think that they could snap out of that at any time. So that matchup would worry me a little bit more. But I'd certainly be willing to take a chance, especially if the alternative was let's just say Blake Snell.
All righty. So let's take a look, Al, at the most added list. And I know a lot of these pitchers will be on it. In fact, Jake Junis is the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues. And it's possible that he's going to make two starts next week. I don't think so. I think he's one start because he's two starts this week, Junis. So it'll be one start at Cleveland. So beware. Robert Stevenson's number two. Jorge Polanco is number three. 57% owned. You know, you got Jorge Polanco, then you got a guy like, say, Trevor Story, who has seven games next week, three at home, four at Arizona. Would you start Polanco over Story?
Absolutely not. No, no way. And I understand there's something to be said for playing the hot hand, and if he, you know, stays hot through the weekend, maybe that makes that a tougher choice. But those are good parks for Story. That's mattered a lot for him this year. I don't recall offhand how many lefties the Rockies are facing.
I don't think they're maybe two and seven.
Let's see.
Two.
They got
two.
Clayton Richard, Corbin. So, all right. So that helps them a little bit. It's a tough schedule, though, otherwise, for the most part.
It is.
For Story. I'm digressing here. I would still go Story over Polanco. I can't. Polanco's kind of like the second half version for me of Zach Cozart. Like, I don't really understand where the power and the overall good numbers are coming from for him. And he's actually more puzzling than Cozart, because Cozart had shown some power before. Polanco, he's got a bad combination historically of hitting a lot of fly balls, but not having a lot of fly ball power. He had been more of a line drive type hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be skeptical of him if he were putting up just a high average. But I really am skeptical of the power for Polanco. So I'd just rather go with Trevor Story with good venues all week long.
Garrett Richards is on the most added list, and he's got two starts next week. Garrett Richards facing the Astros and the Rangers. Little dicey. Both are at home. Do you trust Garrett Richards? He's 51% owned.
Yeah, I would definitely trust Garrett Richards. Just hopefully he stays healthy for both of those starts. That would be my biggest concern. Well, obviously, I would have to say I'm concerned with the Astros, but Richards is pretty much somebody I don't sweat the matchups with.
By the way, Robert Stevenson is lined up to be a two-star pitcher, but here's the thing.
Yep.
If you are going to pick up a two-star pitcher, you need to look at both matchups and ask yourself, are you okay with him making just one of them? And if you are, then pick the guy up. If you're not, if he's only a two-star pitcher, then it's a little dicey because you just don't know these days. They spot starts here and six man's there. And it's
I was just going to say, and I would expect the Reds to go six man next week. So I wouldn't expect Stevenson to make that second start against the Pirates, which is unfortunate because that's the much better of the two matchups.
All right. Also on the most added list, we have Blake Parker. There he is. Blake Parker, Dylan Peters, Woodruff, Matt Olson, 22% owned. We've talked a lot about him. Rafael Montero, 21% owned. He's RP eligible. Are you seeing anything from Rafael Montero that suggests he's breaking out a little bit?
I'm a little bit reluctant now because I thought I saw that about a month and a half, 2 months ago. You had a little five or six game stretch where he looked really good. So I'm just not trusting the consistency.
All right. Yeah, it's kind of a boring list. Wellington Castillo, 83% owned. Definitely needs to be owned. Do you buy Andrew Cashner? 45%
owned? I do.
You do? Finally, someone.
I'm trying to remember who it was that I think it might have been Nando DeFino.
Who?
Had him on my show. We were talking about Cashner, and actually, like right before that, I'd had Mike Podhorzer from Fangraphs. And with both guests, both segments, we talked about Cashner, and I've been liking Cashner since probably about May or June.
Nando's been liking Cashner since May or June of like 2012.
Well, he was very anti-Cashner.
He was saying,
and this was like in, you know, maybe late June, maybe it was July even. And he said, well, that, you know, now we're getting to the dog days, and you're going to see, you know, Cashner do a lot worse. And then I had Mike Podhorzer on like two or three days before that. He said like the same thing, almost word for word. And it made a lot of sense to me, but really he's remained consistent throughout June, July, August. So I'm totally bought in on Cashner. I don't know exactly how he's doing it, but because the strikeout walk ratios have been pretty bad all year, but he's been consistently all year one of the leaders in terms of lowest average fly ball distance, and you know, and it's showing up in the stats. Okay. So again, I'm not exactly sure, you know, if it's just, you know, a matter of location for him, but after 5 months, five plus months, I'm buying it.
Who would you rather own, Pfister or Cashner?
Oh boy.
Let's see if I can get Cashner's matchup.
Yeah, Cashner's got the Angels. Oh, I like that. So at least for this week, I'm definitely going Cashner.
I've got him with Seattle.
Okay. You know what? Almost as good.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, you know what, though? I'm sorry. That's at home, though.
Yeah, home against Seattle. Pfister has the A's.
I'll still go with Cashner here. It's close, though.
All right, let's take a look at some other players that are streaking, that are trending right now. Three up, Carlos Gonzalez. Carlos Gonzalez, remember him? Cargo, he is 68% owned. Here's what he's done in his last six games. He hasn't homered, but he's 7-for-15 with 5 RBIs, 7 walks, 3 strikeouts, and, I think 5 doubles. You know why I think it's 5 doubles? I'm looking at my notes and it just says blank doubles. And the 5 key on my laptop is kind of messed up. So I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be a 5. I feel good about that.
That's like invisible ink, sort of.
Yes. So if you ever see that, it means there probably was supposed to be a 5 there. So Carlos Gonzalez, here he is, getting hot. Not scorching hot, but gotta love 7 walks, 3 strikeouts, 5 doubles in 6 games. They all been at home, and he will hit the road for 4 games with 3 home games next week. What do you think?
It definitely puts him in the discussion, but I think probably I would find somebody else I trusted more, because it's just been a whole lot of yuck this year, and I'm not sure that the 6 games is enough for me to feel that he's trustworthy.
Okay.
But so, at least I'm not outright, dismissing starting him at this point.
I wish I had just like a completely useless roster space right now, and I would stash him. But I don't in any of the leagues that I'm currently in. Would you rather have Buxton or Cargo?
I'd rather have Buxton.
Jose Martinez or Carlos Gonzalez?
I'll go Cargo.
All right, and Lucas Duda is 3 up, number 2. He's 30% owned. He's homered 3 times in his last 4 games. It's pretty cold before that. Thoughts on Duda?
And he's got 6 home games next week. I don't think he's hit very well at the Trop. I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but regardless of what the actual numbers are, that just doesn't really bode well.
Oh, they have the worst matchup. I should have mentioned this. As of right now, the Rays.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to look at this is Scott's thing, and really, you need to check the website over the weekend for the best start-sit advice. But these are the pitchers that the Rays, and keep in mind for the lefties too, for Kiermaier, for Dickerson, and for Duda, and for Lomo, this is who they're facing. CeCe Sabathia, Sonny Gray, Tanaka, Chris Sale, Porcello, and Eduardo Rodriguez. It's pretty hard. And not only, like, there might only be 3 really tough pitchers there, but that's a lot these days. If you just look at hitter matchups every week, there's so many bad pitchers. This is brutal.
Yeah. Now, your breakdown gave me time to look up the splits for Duda.
Nice.
And he does have 4 homers in 66 plate appearances at the Trop, but he's only hitting 161.
Okay. Joe Panik, last 3 games, they were at Colorado. He went 12 for 15. With a home run and 3 doubles. He batted .305 in August with like 9 walks, 2 strikeouts. He did miss a chunk of time, so that was like half a month. I don't know. Panic's 24% owned. What do you think? Good batting average source, maybe?
I even doubt that. He's got 6 games at home, and I know his home splits are terrible.
Okay. Okay, so, good to know. No Panic. None down, so that's 3 up. None down, rotation. Oh, no. There were like five pitchers I wanted to talk about in the rotation. And I have the worst laptop of the world, Al. Like, you couldn't even believe. But here, let me see if I can remember. Julio Teheran was one of them.
Yep.
Johnny Cueto, Lance McCullers, Cole Hamels. Come on, one more. Well, let's start with them.
Okay.
What do you think about the two guys who came off the DL last night, Lance McCullers and Johnny Cueto?
Cueto, I mean, it was a promising start.
Promising?
Him.
It was at Coors Field, and he gave up one run.
That's it for a point. Only lasted five, though, right?
I think that was McCullers. I thought Cueto went deeper. I thought
they both did, but
maybe. Yeah, five innings, five hits, one run, one walk, seven strikeouts.
Well, okay.
First start off the DL.
You're right. Given the venue, that's a bit of a soft sell to just say it's merely encouraging, but I don't trust the health or consistency with Cueto.
He's 88% owned. Let me just see the matchup. Sorry, Al. It's the Dodgers. The Dodgers next week at home.
It could be a slump buster for the Dodgers, maybe.
they're terrible right now. All right. That's interesting that you weren't more encouraged by that. Okay.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's a one, you're right. Very, you know, good start considering the venue, you know, after a really disappointing season.
Okay, then let's go to McCullers. What do you think of McCullers, who was really good early, ran into some trouble in the middle innings?
Yeah, I'm slightly more encouraged there, you know, and again, that probably has as much to do with what he did before the DL that, you know, clearly when he was hurt, I mean, he wasn't pitching well, but before that, he was pitching like a number one starter. So I'm willing to look into that, you know, good beginning of the start. And be somewhat encouraged. But that also seemed to be a pattern, too, in those starts right before he went on the DL, where he'd be okay for a couple of innings and then sort of unravel. So, I mean, with both Cueto and McCullers, I'd consider them, but neither one's a must-start for me at this point.
He's at the Angels next week, McCullers.
Which is I don't know how to make – what to make of the Angels as a matchup now.
Yeah.
You know, with them having upgraded two spots in their lineup really significantly.
Yeah.
It was easy before, especially when they were at home, to pick on them.
Crone's hitting better.
Yeah.
Okay, so McCullers and Cueto are one-star pitchers next week. Are you ready to drop Cole Hamels? Cole Hamels is...
Yeah.
Yeah?
He's terrible.
What's happening? He's got the Mariners at home and the Angels on the road next week. He's terrible. He's been really bad. 8.22 ERA in his last three starts. I can't trust him. Nope, not happening. And then Julio Teheran. Julio Teheran at Washington, home against the Mets next week.
You know, speaking of not knowing what to make of a certain matchup, I keep picking on the Mets lately because it just seems like they should be bad offensively.
They should be.
And they haven't been as bad as I thought. The Nationals are a tough matchup. And I don't trust Tehran's consistency. And also that Mets game is in Atlanta, and he's been terrible in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So he may actually do better against the Nationals in Nationals Park than at home.
I'm not convinced he will have two starts next week either.
And then there's that, yeah.
So that's Julio Teheran. So we're not too jazzed about, seems like, any of them. Cueto, McCullers, Teheran, and Hamels. Fringy starting pitchers. Now look, you can go out and you can pick up some of those young guns, or maybe you can pick up Sean Manaea, who's 73% owned. He had 14 swinging strikes. That was very encouraging. Because Manaea's turned it around a bit. He has a 3.04 ERA in his last four starts, but not a lot of swinging strikes. Last night we saw it. Not a lot of strikeouts. Last night we saw it from Manaea. He will either be at Boston and at Philly, or just at Boston next week. What do you think?
Yeah, too risky if he's just going to get the one start, because he has struggled to get strikeouts facing a team that doesn't strike out very much. So
yeah. Yeah, if it's just Boston.
I would probably avoid him.
All right, but I haven't dropped Sean Manaea, and I'm thinking there's still some hope. So hopefully he's coming out. Yeah, it seems what I was reading today was that it seemed that Manaea got tired. And he's, you know, hasn't gone this deep into a season, pitched this many innings. So they think that he just got tired, got a little bit of rest. No, he didn't get rest, actually. They didn't yank him from the rotation. I thought they should have.
They did at some point recently, right?
Did they skip a start? Maybe
it was one turn before. I thought they did.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
And then there's Jason Hamill, who like, if you don't want your pitcher to just get crushed, Jason Hamill might be all right for you. As of now, he's lined up to face the White Sox and then at Cleveland, where he might get crushed. What do you think about Hamill, 35% owned?
Well, I feel like I have to kind of go out on a limb for somebody here because, you know, it seems like all these pitchers, I'm not trusting them, and, you know, there's too much inconsistency. You can make the same case for Hamill, but I will agree that, you know, especially if he just gets the White Sox start, that's pretty nice, especially since that's a home start for Hamill. And I think that an Indian start on top of that might not be a disaster. May not get a whole lot of strikeouts, but I'm not convinced he would necessarily get crushed there. So of all the pitchers we've been talking about, I'd probably have just a little more faith in Hamill.
Oh, we do have him with two starts. Yeah. So White Sox and at Cleveland, and the Cleveland one would be Saturday. So that means there's a better chance that Hamill actually is going to make two starts next week.
Well, plus I'm trying to think. I don't think the Royals have a sixth guy that they've been because I don't think Duffy's due back next week.
Not next week, no.
Yeah.
Unlikely.
So that, you know, that sort of makes that moot anyway.
In the bullpen, we talked about Tyler Lyons. Do you see the A's, who had Chris Hatcher get a save yesterday? Clearly a rest day for Trinan. Or the Mariners making any changes before the season's over?
I don't think the Mariners will. Diaz has certainly had his ups and downs, and he had a very brief hiatus. And that's the whole thing. I think that particular situation showed that Scott Servais has a lot of trust in Edwin Diaz, and he's had, on a couple of occasions, some mechanical issues. So it might just be an issue where maybe for one or two games they would let him work things out. I think that's the worst case scenario for Edwin Diaz. And for the A's, I don't know. I haven't seen any reports on it, so I can't really say this, you know, authoritatively. But I don't know if that was just a day off for training. I mean, I know he probably would have needed the day off, but
yeah,
he just hasn't pitched well
he
lately.
He has not at all.
And Hatcher's been the eighth inning guy.
But Hatcher's not good.
No, I want to just avoid that situation because there's nobody there that I really like.
But it's funny, like, I talk about them all the time. It seems like they get save chances so often now, or at least I see Trinan in there a lot. And Trinan had thrown 59 pitches over the previous two games. So I would say there's no way he was going to pitch. That doesn't mean they would not have gone to Hatcher even if he had been available. But I'm thinking there's no way Trinan was available. But yeah, not a great situation there. All right, Al, let's do some tough calls for next week. Travis Shaw, he's been pretty bad lately. He's got three games home against Pittsburgh, three games at Miami, and two lefties on the schedule. Start or sit Travis Shaw next week. And disclaimer for everyone, what happens Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will absolutely influence your decisions on these hitters. But it's Thursday afternoon, Al. What do you think about Travis Shaw next week?
Yeah, well, that really is that disclaimer is important because I have to think that the poor performance lately is related to him getting, you know, nailed in the foot a couple of times. So I'm not trusting him at all until I see a few games of good production. So if he has a good series this week, I would start Travis Shaw. But as of right now, if I had to lock in a lineup right now, Travis Shaw wouldn't be on it.
Eddie Rosario, 71% owned. He has six home games. They're against San Diego and Toronto. Not exactly facing great pitchers here, but he is facing three lefties in six games as of now. This is Eddie Rosario. Rosario, his batting average is fine against lefties. His power is non-existent, basically. His OBP is much lower against lefties than it is against righties. So would you put Rosario in your lineup right now? And I do encourage everyone to check the matchups beforehand just in case anything changes and maybe another righty sneaks in there.
Yeah, I would start Rosario. And for me, the home road splits trump the righty-lefty splits. And he's great at home. He's not very good on the road. But Target Park or Target Park, where'd that come from? Target Field,
yeah.
is pretty good for left-handed power.
Okay.
So I totally buy those splits for Rosario. And the other thing too, not only check the matchups beforehand, but you know, even with a bunch of lefties, I've seen situations this year where I wanted to shy away from somebody because there were two or three lefties in the lineup, but they did so much damage against the righties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That it made it worthwhile. So I think it could be that kind of week for Rosario.
Okay. And that brings me to, we'll get to the Rays in a second, but let's go to the Pirates first. Starling Marte just has not been good. And Andrew McCutchen had a three-homer game at the Padres in the 34 games since. 34 games. McCutchen's batting .226 with one home run, 12 walks, and 31 strikeouts. I mean, the matchups aren't bad. He's got Garza, Nelson, to be announced, Homer Bailey, Sal Romano, and Robert Stevenson. Would you start Starling Marte or Andrew McCutchen as of right now, as of Thursday?
Definitely not Marte, because like I say, he's just not been good, and I just don't foresee the situation where he's, you know, where he's going to produce enough for me. I would lean towards McCutchen, but that cold streak that you just mentioned coincides with him missing a game with a what was supposed to be a minor knee injury. Mm. And given what we saw last year with McCutchen with the thumb, I just really suspect that maybe he's more banged up than what we're reading about.
Okay.
But at least he's away from PNC Park, so he's got much better power splits on the road, as you would expect. So I would lean towards starting McCutchen next week.
And then we got the Rays, who I talked about earlier, and the left-handed Rays in particular, because they do have Sabathia, Sale, and Eduardo Rodriguez on the schedule. They have Tanaka, Sonny Gray as well, and Rick Porcello, for what that's worth. Not sure it's a great week for Rays, Al. Six home games, too.
Yeah, I seem to remember in my research for the matchup report, there might have been something I liked about Kiermaier, but honestly, at this point, I don't want to go out on a limb since I don't remember exactly what the deal was there.
But he's playing very well. It's a good guy to bring up. He's about 53% owned, Kiermaier, and he's filling up the box score, you know?
Yep. I'm just taking a quick look here to see if I can jog my memory.
Sure.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, they are stacked with fly ball pitchers. Kiermaier's hit really well against fly ball pitchers this year.
There
and granted,
is.
One of them is Chris Sale, so you don't want to put too much stock in that. But it might be a case where he does enough damage in two or three games to make it worthwhile.
Finally, let's look at Ryan Zimmerman. Kind of just keeps teasing fantasy owners with the occasional home run. Six home games for Zimmerman against the Braves and the Dodgers. Not the easiest matchups. I mean, he could do well against the Braves. Gohara, Tehran, and Sean Newcomb. Then it's Darvish. Maybe that's not so bad. Alex Wood and Rich Hill. What do you think about Zimmerman? How would you lean with him?
I would lean start. I don't really worry too much about matchups and venues with him. So it is definitely leans toward being a rough week for him. But, yeah, he could certainly do some damage against the Braves.
That brings us to the two-star pitchers. I'm almost hesitant to do this segment.
Yeah.
But we'll do it. Okay, so take a look at anybody. Like Gerrit Cole had a great start yesterday. You're cool starting him. He's at Milwaukee and at Cincinnati, and both of those teams have roughed up Cole lately.
Recently. Yeah, but I'm good with starting them.
All right, but not Hamels.
No.
John Gray at Arizona, home against San Diego.
Yeah, I think I'm all right with that.
Are they six man? Because if they are, he's not making two starts.
I'm not sure. It seems like they've been sort of going in and out of six man.
Yeah.
But let's see.
They had like a bullpen game the other day.
That's tough. That's tough because when I said, yeah, I'm okay with Gray, that was basically thinking that the Padres start ought to be enough. But given that there's a decent chance he doesn't make that. That he goes to being a borderline guy, you know, gets in the queue with all the other pitchers I've said are borderline and, you know, kind of weigh them against each other.
So John Gray at Arizona in a one-start week, you would not start him there?
No, I'd make him borderline.
Borderline, okay. Carlos Rodon at Kansas City at Detroit. Do you like him enough at Kansas City to start Rodon if he loses the Detroit start?
Totally.
Okay, Taiwan Walker. Colorado at home, San Francisco on the road. I think Walker was the other guy who was in the five-man rotation this week.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I like those starts. Rockies are, I mean, Chase Field's a good park, but overall, the Rockies, I think, are the worst offensive team on the road.
Wow.
And then he gets the Giants in AT&T Park, which is the best matchup ever in history. So,
could you imagine if the Rockies beat the Diamondbacks in the wild card game? If the Rockies even make it? Like the Diamondbacks right now are so superior. I mean, look, they're on a 13-game winning streak.
Right.
But they just look like such a better team. And
yeah.
It could happen.
I mean, the pitching, the Rockies pitching has been a big part of the story, and it's much improved, but it's not what the Diamondbacks have.
And what if the Twins beat the Yankees? If the Twins, I mean, or the Angels beat the Yankees in the wild card game?
That would be pretty crazy. And I mean, like I said before, I mean, it's not as strange now that the Angels have upgraded offensively, but a couple weeks ago, I really didn't understand how they were staying in the race. They just did not, on paper, look like a good team to me.
This is going
to
happen every year now. There's just so much parity in baseball.
It's fun.
I love it. It's outstanding. Back to the two-star pitchers. Kevin Gausman got crushed today by the Yankees. He is scheduled to face Toronto on the road and the Yankees on the road. He might not get that Yankee start, but I feel like he will.
I'm still okay with Gausman. I mean, for all the pitchers that, you know, we've both been hedging on, he's been largely consistent in the second half. So, you know, compared with what your other options are likely to be, I'd feel better about Gausman.
All right. Then we'll go to Eduardo Rodriguez, 78% owned, just like Gausman. Rodriguez, Oakland at home, Tampa Bay on the road. And that Tampa Bay game is a Sunday scheduled game.
I can't think of a sixth starter for the Red Sox. So I'd feel pretty confident.
Okay.
About him making both of those.
He's interesting, though. He had a good start last time out, but Eduardo Rodriguez had not been pitching well before that.
No. But I do like these matchups for him a lot. So I feel a little bit better about Rodriguez than I do about Gausman. And I feel pretty safe about starting Gausman. So I'm definitely good with Edrod.
Is it
Edrod or Erod?
I go Erod. But Edrod's fun.
Because it's... In my mind, it's Edrod, and then I always see Erod, but I stubbornly stick with Edrod.
Starter sit, CC Sabathia. Two starts. Do you have the matchups, or do you need me to read them to you?
Okay, well, what I'm looking at must be different than yours, but if it's two, it would be at Tampa Bay versus Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
He's borderline for me, and it's not the matchups at all. It's just a matter of consistency.
Danny Salazar, Detroit and Kansas City.
Boy, oh boy, I wish we could see one more start from him before that. Tigers are a great matchup. I'd probably start him.
You're going to go out and pick up Estrada, Manaea, Mike Leake, or Jake Odorizzi?
I'd probably be most inclined to pick up Estrada.
Over Manaea?
Yeah.
Then you got Stevenson, who I know you like. I don't think you should start Kyle Freeland.
No.
Ariel Miranda? No.
Those are bad matchups for him.
At Texas, at Houston. Miguel Gonzalez? No. I mean, he gives you a lot of quality starts. We got killed yesterday. No thanks.
And I wasn't buying the quality starts even. It didn't make sense.
Jason Hamill, 35% owned, White Sox and Indians. Might not be terrible.
Right. Well, like I was saying, you know, I don't like him as much as Gausman or Rodriguez, but compared to the long list of pitchers that we were kind of naysaying, he might make the cut, Hamill.
Jason Hamill. No, don't pick up Jeremy Hellickson.
No.
Ronaldo Lopez at Kansas City, at Detroit. Yeah, I like it.
I like it a lot.
I like it better than Hamill.
You know what? I do too.
I mean, I think you might even want to pick up Lopez ahead of Stevenson, because Stevenson's second start is on Sunday and Lopez's is on Saturday. I don't know. I mean, let's not go overboard on Lopez, I guess.
I'm very excited about Robert Stevenson. I would have trouble sitting him even with one start. But Lopez, that would be a tough decision.
Then you got Garrett Richards, Houston and Texas. You've got Dylan Peters at Philadelphia and Milwaukee. That's a good one. Pick up Dylan Peters. Jack Flaherty. I forgot to talk about him. Jack Flaherty,
right.
Cincinnati and at the Cubs.
I thought I'd be more excited at this point, but can't really trust him with what he's done so far. So I'd pass.
Do you know my nickname for Joe Biagini? Or like the song I sing for him?
Biagini in a bottle?
Joe Biagini tonight.
That's much better than be a genie in a bottle.
Absolutely. I don't see anybody else worth picking up here. I just don't. Matthew
you,
Boyd.
Briefly mentioned Tyler Skaggs earlier in the show, but you did not sing your Tyler Skaggs song.
I'm going to Tyler Skaggs. I sang it yesterday, actually.
Okay.
Don't want to wear it out, you know? Don't Be a Genie Tonight is probably my favorite. And you know what we do for Luke Weaver.
Know what you do for Luke Weaver.
You know, we don't even have to sing it. But if
it doesn't work as well as Jared Weaver. Even though Dream is one word.
Of course it does. Luke
I find that it flows much better as Jared Weaver.
No, Al. Don't make me hang up on you right now before emails. That's a terrible call. All right, Al, let's read emails to finish the show. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. This is from Gary. Subject: Red Sox. Dear Michael, Jason, and Freddie, the Red Sox stealing signs now. Will they try to deflate the balls next?
No, they will not, because the Red Sox are all about being unique and you know, finding new ways to cheat.
This is from Paul Old Man Robinson. Dear Bruce, Steve, and Tony.
I wasn't good on this when I was on the show regularly, and I'm worse at it now.
You are. These feel comic booky to me. Bruce Wayne, Tony Stark, or Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner, Steve Rogers, Tony Stark.
Sounds like a good call to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know exactly what they are. Bruce Banner is the Hulk, right? Tony Stark is Iron Man. I don't know who Steve Rogers is.
Yeah. Other than a pitcher for the Expos.
Okay. Question is, currently in first place in a head-to-head categories league, I'm going to drop Fulmer. Who should I pick up for Fulmer? Giolito, Aaron Sanchez, Junis, Tyone, Straley, Rodon, Cahill, Garrett Richards. Quality starts league.
I just based on the players, independent of the schedules, I would go Dan Straley. So I know next week the schedule is good for Straley. He's at Philadelphia, so he's not at home, but I like the Phillies as a matchup. And then if I can just take a second and kill the show here and look a week ahead.
Sure, I'll tell you that in the meantime.
Home versus Mets.
Okay, there you go.
So the next two starts at least are good.
For Straley.
So I'll stick with that.
So you put him over a lot of those high upside rookies. Yeah. Steve Rogers is Captain America. I have not seen Captain America. And I'm not going to. Charles from Chicago says, "Dear Non-Zero Chance," and Al, that's what we decided. If me, Scott, Heath, and Chris had a band, it would be called Non-Zero Chance.
That's a Heathism, right?
Yeah. Heath and Chris, Creeth, we call them. They're always, "There's a non-zero chance." Like, okay, thanks.
That is exactly what a blending of Heath and Chris would sound like.
Yeah, it would. Dreamweaver has done everything an owner could have asked for in 2017. What do you think about him in 2018? Luke Weaver.
I think he's going to be a must-start pitcher. Somebody you're going to want to start every single week.
Luis Castillo or Luke Weaver?
Boy, oh boy. I'll give Weaver a slight edge, but I ask me again in an hour. I probably changed my mind.
Here's one from Will. He says, "Dear Ron, Keith, and Brent." I think you might be able to get this, Al.
Well, it's two Rolling Stones and a guy from Dog Rates. So
no, it is Ron, Keith, and Brent are three Grateful Dead keys players, according to Will.
Man, I'm having a bad day because I can't even think of who one of them is.
I don't know. Maybe he's lying. Which two players do you project highest rest of season?
Didn't Bruce Hornsby play keys for the Dead at some point?
I could not like the Grateful Dead any less unless they were the Who. Or Pink Floyd. Then I would like them less. No, I'd say...
I might have to hang up on you now.
No, I think... I think
Pink, I'm not a big Dead fan, but you just insulted some good bands there.
Pink Floyd would be the best of those three horrible bands. Then The Who. The Who, then Pink Floyd, then The Grateful Dead. Yeah. Gene Segura, Brandon Phillips, Zach Cozart. Who would I drop? Gene Segura, Brandon Phillips, or Zach Cozart? Who's one to drop?
Oh, boy. I suppose Phillips. It was between Phillips and Kozar. I'll go Phillips.
And the next email, I don't have a name here. Picked up Roark today. Want to grab Giolito for tomorrow. Do I drop one of these guys or just not grab Giolito? Roark, Devers, Jorge Polanco, Lomo, Trinan.
Okay, so drop one of them for Roark. Or no, so drop one for Giolito.
Yeah, you'd be dropping Roark, Devers, Jorge Polanco, Lomo, or Trinan.
It kind of depends on roster construction, but in proverbial vacuum, I would drop Trinan.
Next email is from Jason. Dear Sparp, BABIP, WHIP, and WAR. You know what those are?
Yeah, starting pitcher as relief pitcher, batting average of balls in play, walks and hits per innings pitched, and wins above replacement.
There you go. By the way, did I suggest to you, I know I said it on the podcast, I don't think you were on it since you've only been on three now. EWIP. EWIP is my new proposed stat. Earned WHIP.
Well, how's that different from WHIP? Because the errors don't count.
The errors don't count, but everything after the error counts.
I think what that does is it shows the ridiculousness of ERA more than anything else.
Why? I like ERA. If you were supposed to get the third out and four runs score after that, they shouldn't count towards your ERA.
I mean, it's definitely more fair than if we just used, you know, run average as a stat, but it's imperfect.
It's pretty perfect. I have Lance McCullers coming off the DL. Should I drop Cole Hamels to make room, or I could drop Peacock, Godley, Corbin, or Davies?
Yeah, dropping Cole Hamels is the answer to everything.
But golly gee, I wish I knew what was going to happen with Brad Peacock.
Yeah, I mean, I would just assume he's going to the pen.
He's going to start on Saturday.
Yeah.
But that's a doubleheader.
Doubleheader, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would rather take the chance of being able to use Peacock, you know, even if it was a spot start, than using up a roster spot for Cole Hamels.
Reading the Chronicle right now of Narnia, also the Houston Chronicle, Saturday's start will likely be Peacock's final start before he moves back to the bullpen. Okay.
Especially if I had to make a decision right now, I drop Hamels. Okay. I think I would just do it no matter what.
Works for me. You just get rid of Hamels. Couple more here.
I feel bad because one of my favorite things that ever happened to me as a fantasy baseball analyst involved Cole Hamels. I had a phone interview with him, and he called me, and I answered my phone, and he just says, "Hello, Al. This is Cole Hamels."
That's
and
cool.
For some reason, that just cracked me up.
That's cool.
Because how many times in your life are you going to answer your phone and, you know, hear, "Hello, Adam, this is Cole Hamels"?
Well, if you call me, I'm going to say, "Hi, Al, this is Cole Hamels." I won't be him, but I will say that.
Looking forward to that.
Question from Blake in Crestline, California. Dear Bud, Cam, Blake, and Keenan.
Yeah, Angels closers, kind of, sort of.
Will any of these guys be coming back this year? David Price, Miguel Sano, Billy Hamilton.
Like I said earlier, I had read that Hamilton is expected to. I would rank them, because I'm not really certain about any of three. But in terms of certainty, I would rank Hamilton first, Sano second, Price third.
And finally from Andrew. He says, next week is round two of the playoffs, 1 week long. And I'm trying to figure out which pitchers to start in a points league. So pick two here. Roark against Atlanta. Two start Dylan Peters. Two start Jack Flaherty. Colin McHugh. Two start Garrett Richards. Ryu against San Francisco. Leiter against Oakland.
Ooh, this is tough.
Let's get rid of Leiter.
Get rid of Leiter. Get rid of Flaherty.
All right.
And it's still pretty tough.
Let me read what we have left. We have Roark against Atlanta. Dylan Peters, two starts. Colin McHugh, one start. Garrett Richards, two starts. Ryu against San Francisco.
All right. It looks like McHugh might be facing the Angels in L.A. or Anaheim.
All right.
So that keeps him in the discussion because matchups and venues are critically important for him. He's got a ground ball rate around 30%, which is ridiculous. Let's see. So Richards, I'll go with the two start guys here.
Yeah.
I like Roark and McHugh, but I don't want to pass up on Peters and Richards.
I'm going to go Peters. If it's a points league, like, I might go Ryu against the Giants. It feels like an easy win.
That's great.
I think I would.
That, if it because it's a points league, I'm willing to kind of take the a bit of a gamble with Richards.
Right. I just feel like the Astros are going to light him up.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant.
I guess I got a little more faith.
Okay. And then finally, pick two relievers. Dylan Bundy against the Yankees. Dan Straley against the Phillies. Patrick Corbin against Colorado. Leiter against Oakland or Sean Doolittle. Corbin is the easy one for me.
Yeah, I mean he's easy, but Straley feels pretty easy, and Doolittle will probably give you a pretty good total as well. So got to get rid of somebody. I guess I probably would drop Straley, do Corbin and Doolittle.
Al Melchior, ladies and gentlemen, you know him. Thanks, Al.
You're assuming that. Well, thanks for having me on, Al. This was really fun.
It was so nice of you to come on. It really means a lot to me that you're helping our listeners right now. It's crunch time, and we needed it, and we got Al Melchior. So follow him at Al Melk Beanie Babies, at Al Melchior BB on Twitter, at Al Melchior BB. And check him out on FanRag Sports and AlMelchior.com.
And I just want to add, I hope that your colleagues, my former colleagues, are all safe and well, and everybody in the path of Irma is safe and well.
Amen. Well, thanks, everybody. That's our last show of the week. Hopefully, we'll be back on Monday. If Irma doesn't cooperate, it'll be Tuesday. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.